You are listening to Wine and Dime, a podcast that combines two passions, wine and personal finance. Hosted by Amy Irvine, certified financial planner and owner of Irvine Wealth Planning Strategies, located in Corning, New York. And now, here's your host, Amy Irvine.
Welcome to the first edition of Wine and Dime. Today's interview will be with Deborah Kerr, who just happens to be my mom. During the interview, we will actually be enjoying a nice rosé wine from Heron Hill. It's called Eclipse Rosé. It's a blend of Cab Sauvignon and Merlot. The description says it's going to bring a breath of fresh air and wild strawberry, tart cranberry, finishing with refreshing light, minerally, and pink grapefruit flavor. So this should be rather interesting. So Mom, welcome to the show, the very first podcast. You are my very first guest. And the reason that I thought it would be fun to start out with you is because a lot of people ask me, how did you get into this business? So I thought, well, let's start at the beginning. When I was a kid, what did you think I would grow up to be?
Well, either a teacher or some kind of boss lady.
I can remember you saying at one point in time that I think you said that you thought I was going to be a lawyer because I could pretty much argue my way out of
it. Yeah, that would have fit the description as well.
Yes. And I know that we've had discussions about being the playground leader when I was a kid.
Absolutely, absolutely. You had everybody lining up.
And I think today I am quasi a teacher. I love to educate people and I love to teach them about finance. So, and it's definitely math related, which was what I loved to teach when I was younger on the chalkboard in our bedroom with TJ being, what, 2-3 years old, maybe?
It's a wonder he's not a math scientist.
I think he probably hates it because of that. I would guess. And I remember working a lot with numbers when I was a kid. Like, I remember enjoying math an awful lot and doing, you know, problem solving. So I guess it's not a big surprise that I ended up in a field where I got to work with that as well as the teaching aspect of things. But let's talk a little bit about the boss lady end of things. Being an entrepreneur now, I get to be the boss. And, you know, on the other side of that is my poor husband, who really does say she is the boss. What did you think about that? Like, in what respect?
Well, you were a good leader. I remember in particular, Olivia Newton-John was your idol at one time. Let's get physical. And you had a group of kids that you championed to be physical.
We used to do aerobics, huh?
With your aerobics instruction. At 11 years old. And they were very, you were very regimented in how you conducted your classes with the 11 and 12 year old.
Yeah, I do remember out on the playground, we were doing aerobics classes, weren't we? Boy, I do get some pink grapefruit out of that wine. It's quite yummy, actually. So I guess in some respects, you know, being a woman in finance, there's not a whole heck of a lot of us out there. I just read a statistic not too long ago that it's about 15.7%, I guess, of women that are in the financial services industry. So I guess in that respect, the leadership in me or the guide, you know, guiding light, you know, that something else is out there besides just a guy in this particular field, pushed me a little bit to get into this industry too. And I've never really thought of it as being that male dominated, but I guess the statistics prove that that's the case. And maybe that determination in me that you're talking about is what made me feel comfortable pursuing it anyways. I don't know.
Could be. Determination is very much needed.
And when you're in a
male-dominated field.
And we'll talk about that a little bit because you happen to be in one as well, ironically. And I know we, as a kid, we didn't have a ton of money, but our needs were met. And, you know, we got the basics that you know, food, clothes, all of that sort of stuff. But we didn't really know, I don't think, that there was a challenge, although I know it now. What was the biggest financial challenge that you came across, especially as a single parent like you were?
Basically living paycheck to paycheck was difficult. Sometimes money ran out before the next paycheck came, and you just had to make it stretch every dollar until that next paycheck.
Those budgeting skills were really important,
absolutely,
weren't they?
Absolutely.
Having a calendar of when things were coming due and how you were going to rob Peter to pay Paul. Some creative science, I guess you want to say, behind
the unexpected or unscheduled things that came up, like buying school clothes was always a challenge, or, you know, those were above and beyond and extra at that time.
But you always figured out a way to make it work, and it had to have been through some budgeting skills that you...
Somehow, I did. I don't know. And now, looking back, how I did, but somehow.
I talk to clients a lot about that, about having that, you know, emergency fund, especially when they're living paycheck to paycheck, and having that tight budget, you know, having a calendar of when things come due, and making decisions sometimes that, you know what, we're going to have eggs for dinner because... You know, the next paycheck isn't until... But, like I said, you always made it fun. Like, it was, always seemed like an adventure. So I guess it was the creativeness that I wasn't so aware of what was going on behind the financial curtain, as we call it. And, you know, are there any money mistakes that you feel that you've made that anybody could learn from? Myself, my brother?
Not having a goal... I guess a retirement savings goal. At least a defined one anyway. Just through work, you know, but the money that I did have extra always went towards extras for the grandkids or gifts that maybe I could have cut back on, or Christmas was always quite the big ordeal.
It still is.
I've always liked to spend on the people I care about, and I still do that to a guilty pleasure, I guess, and don't really save enough, I guess, towards what I probably should be.
So, if I hear you correctly, what I think you're saying is that, you know, if somebody had sat down with you, say 20 years ago or 25 years ago, and said, "Let's start having a retirement savings goal. It's going to be XYZ dollars, and that you're going to need to save by the time you're 62, 65, whatever," you would have saved that because that was the goal, and then as a consequence, there wouldn't have been maybe quite as much to spend, but you still would have embellished around the holidays and around birthdays and stuff, maybe just not quite as much because the money wouldn't have been there. I think our habits of spending what we earn as a people, as you know, United States.
I think if somebody had actually told me right up front and then guided me through that process, that I would have done that, because I didn't have that guidance until you became a financial planner. I just did what I thought was the right thing to do.
Yeah, and I see that a lot. People that start working with me will make that very same statement of, I guess I'm coming to you because I don't know what I don't know, and I'm hoping that you can guide me down that path of things I don't know. And as a kid, when you were growing up, what kind of financial concerns did you have even back then? So post...
I didn't have a lot. So I think by the time I got to the point where, once I was remarried and somewhat stable in an income, that's when I began to want to do more for people that I cared about. Mm-hmm. My grandfather always makes sure that if my car broke down, I got help. Mm-hmm. If I needed something that I really needed, he would make sure I got the help. So he was always my lifeline.
Yeah.
And I have tried to be a lifeline too.
Yeah. Well, you have. That's for sure. And, you know, one of the things that I often ask people as your kids have grown up, and I think this kind of ties into what you're saying, you know, what financial concerns do you have for them?
I've never had to worry about you, which has always been good. But I have made it my mission, basically, to make sure my grandchildren are well taken care of. And I think that their parents see to that as well. But I always like to go the extra mile, I guess, mm-hmm. if you will. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, you did. That's fine. For TJ's age group, that late 30s, early 40s, you know, my biggest concern for them as a planner is at that point in time in their life, they have so many competing goals between starting to think about their children's education and their own retirement and house payments and car payments. There's just so many competing goals that they have going on in their life that, you know, when they aren't planning, when they aren't sitting down with somebody, they're doing exactly what you said. They're just doing the best that they can because they don't know what their options are.
Right.
So for somebody that's, you know, that age group, that's my biggest concern for them, that if they don't seek out some help, then they're not going to figure it out until they're in their, you know, 50s and their kids are starting to apply for colleges and, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? So then when you kind of got into your 40s, you went back to school. You actually went to college at that point in time. And I mentioned earlier that we're both in the field that is much more male dominated than most fields are. And you got a degree in technology. What was it like, first of all, being in a male dominated field? And then secondly, going back to college at that age?
I felt a little out of place, to say the least. I was in a class where there were no other females other than me. I think my graduating class, I was the only female that graduated.
Wow.
There might have been one or two others in the curriculum at the beginning. It was, I didn't really realize it when I first went into it. However, some of the counseling I got and the reason I went back to college was because after working 10 years in a particular job, they went out of business and I was downsized, of course. And so I got some help with that, very little, but some. And, but the advisor said one thing to me that made me dig my heels in and made me more determined was, if you take this curriculum, you're probably going to end up just being a secretary anyway.
Now, that's ironic. That's ironic because the very first job that I applied for, before I started working at Steuben Trust Company, the very first job I tried to get in the financial services industry was for a company down in Corning, actually. And one of the things that they told me was, you scored really well on our tests, our aptitude tests, but you're a girl. And so probably financial planner isn't in your best interest. And I remember at that point in time doing the same thing that you did and sort of saying, digging my heels in and saying, well, really? Okay, I've just chose my career because watch me, I'm going to be a financial planner. I mean, I didn't know what that career path was, probably like you didn't. But that's interesting that almost the same phrase was used by a trusted advisor in your case, supposedly. Yeah.
Supposedly. This wasn't an advisor at the college. This was an advisor through the unemployment office assistance type of thing.
Okay.
Which I was very eager when I graduated with a 3.97 GPA to present that to him.
Feels good when you can prove somebody wrong, doesn't it? I know it does for me. So now I know where I got the whole dig my heels in from.
Unfortunately, some of the experience I've had in that field since then has sort of taken the wind out of my sails, but I think that's more because I'm looking more towards that goal of retirement and going on to the next phase.
Yeah. And before we go on to that next phase and talk about that next phase, is there any particular flavor that you like in this wine that we're tasting?
Could you taste it? It's going to my head very quickly. It's very good.
Good. That's why we like to do the wine and dime discussion. It makes it nice and relaxing. So I do want to talk about, you know, where you're at this point in time in your life. You know, what's your biggest financial concern at this point? We've talked about what it was like when we were kids and beyond, but what about right now?
Well, because I didn't really have the goal in mind throughout my life, I have to wait. I would like to retire right now. I'm sort of old enough. but financially, I need to stick with it for a while longer. And
we'll keep working on that together.
Yeah.
And I would think that, you know, some of that you're talking about, it's health related. Like you don't have health problems or anything like that, but the cost of health care.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine. I mean, it's very expensive.
Yep.
Yeah. Not to mention just normal expenses.
Yeah. And with, you know, the way things are up in the air with Medicare and all that stuff right now, you know, I think it's better to wait and see what happens.
I think that's a concern with a lot of people. I think it's a valid concern, one that we need to keep digging into. And you're right. I think, you know, if you're not retired right now, taking a back seat and saying, well, what's the political environment going mm-hmm. to bring to the table?
Right.
And that's just a question that people will often ask me, what do you think is going to happen? I'm like, well, let me dust off that, you know, that little ball that I have, the crystal ball, and see if I can figure it out, you know?
Yes. And being in technology, I actually bought a crystal ball because people, I really, really did.
You're not sharing.
people would come to my desk and say, you know, why is this happening? And I would say, let me consult my crystal ball. And but they don't work very good.
Yeah, and I think the other end of it is, you know, so if I don't get the question about healthcare related, I get the question regarding the stock market. Like, what do I think the stock market's going to
be? Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, so those are the two primary questions.
That's one thing I will put in my will, that Amy inherits my crystal ball that works very rarely.
Well, it's a good memento anyways. I love it. And if you could share the best piece of financial advice that you've ever received with the listeners, that would be great. I'd love to know it. Or the worst, if you wanted to share that.
Well, I think having a good savings is really important. I'm guilty of not having such a great savings that I can say I listened to that, but I think that having that cushion, mm-hmm. you never know when it's going to rain, so have it ready. And God only knows, I know that for sure. We've had a lot of rain.
And some hurricanes.
And some hurricanes.
Yeah. Yeah. And is there any piece of advice that I've personally given you that you found to be advantageous, especially in the last few years, because we've kind of worked closely together?
Yes, actually. Having a conversation with with your stepdad and I about him retiring and what that would mean as far as spending and how much we would need to get by on a monthly basis and all that. That's been very helpful. And that made me realize that I do have to hang in there for a while.
So it was a good news, bad news thing, huh?
Yeah, well, you know.
It was helpful, but the news necessarily wasn't the best that you wanted to hear out of the conversation. But at least you're aware.
I'm aware, yeah. And I knew what that would actually be. But I think we both needed to hear it from... he needed to hear it, especially from someone other than me.
Yeah. Well, and that's what a financial planner often brings to the table, is that outside source, you know, that third party. Yes, I was emotionally attached to both of you in this particular situation, but I think I put on my financial planner hat and said, you know, here's what you guys need to be thinking about. And often I'm asked that question, can I retire? And my response is, anything is possible. It depends on the decisions that you want to make and the consequences to that decision, right? So if retirement is more important than spending, you might be able to do it. But if you enjoy, which I know you do, if you enjoy indulging, if that gives you great pleasure, then okay, you continue to work a little bit longer because you get such great pleasure out of you know, taking care of your grandchildren, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's one thing that you would give advice to people about, well, as we were talking before I actually started recording, I thought you had a great piece of advice. And that was to make sure that you communicate with your partner about money, that would be...
Yeah, I think that's a really important thing, to pick the partner that you can talk to and that will be a part of your team. You will be a team making decisions financially together.
Mm-hmm.
And that one of you is not the cheerleader of the whole thing, and that all the responsibilities do not fall mm-hmm. onto one person, mm-hmm. that it's a team effort.
And I think that is an extremely valid point. I think everybody needs to be involved in the discussion about how money's going to be spent. You'll often hear me tell people there should be a his, hers, and theirs account, because that way, you know, if she wants to save money for a particular purpose, she can. And if he wants to, he can. And then the big part of the pot really pays all the bills, mm-hmm. you know. But there's, some people would call it an allowance, I guess. But it's more of just a decision of, okay, this is what we're going to have for fun money. And how we spend it is really our choice individually, the his and hers. And then the theirs brings the important things into the mix. And I think that's exactly what you're saying, is mm-hmm. that it's really critical that it's not just one person always being responsible for covering everything or making sure everything is covered.
Right.
Even if there's joint income, it's still really important that everybody come to the table with some ideas and input and decision making.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's a really good suggestion. And then I have a couple of really, I think, fun closing questions. So one of the questions I love to ask people is, what if money was not a barrier? Like, what if that barrier wasn't there? What would you change in your life?
I would travel more. I would be more what do I want to say? Free like a bird, I guess.
Okay. Can I tell a quick funny story about that, just to kind of
sure.
share with the audience? So it was in the spring of 2016, I think? You and Steve came down for a week down to Florida to visit us. And we got suckered into this timeshare little tidbit, right? Because we wanted discounted tickets to the Kennedy Space Center. And I sat in with you guys because I didn't want you to get sold. Not that I didn't trust you to not to, but I was actually very interested in how other people got sold. So I sat in with you. And one of the questions that the guy asked said, he asked you what your favorite vacation was. And you said probably last year when I came down and visited Amy for a week because it was very quiet. And then Steve was asked that same question. And he said probably when she went down and visited Amy. And I thought that was the funniest story because it really showed you different personalities. Like Steve wants to be at home. I mean, he's a homebody. He doesn't really want to travel much. Where your point was, gosh, that was an adventure. It was something new, and I got to relax at the same time. And you know, we went on all these little trips, sort of here, there, and everywhere. And I thought that was, I share that with people. I don't necessarily name names, but I share that with people a lot because I think it just drives home the point that sometimes, you know, sometimes it's okay to want a little bit of different thing in you know, from that perspective. But it was, to me, it was one of the funniest things. And both of you were not, it wasn't like it was anything major, but it was, for me, one of the funniest moments, especially as the daughter, because I was literally sitting in the middle of you two. It was like, okay then, I guess, Mom, you're coming with me, Steve, go home. So that's kind of funny. And then one of the other questions I'd love to ask is, what is success to you? What does success mean to you? If you could define success, what would it look like?
I don't think it necessarily means having a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
I think looking back, my grandparents were successful.
Grandma and Grandpa Bartle.
Because yeah. We remember them mm-hmm. as being our, again, I'm going to say the word, but our lifelines.
Yeah. And our support and our network.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. They were, so I think they were successful.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think success means different things for different people. Yep. But when you can have a legacy like that, it's awesome. I mean, we both think fondly of Grandma and Grandpa Bartle.
Yep.
I
know that, you know, any of us that had experience or, what do I want to say? Not experiences, but experience them.
Yeah.
We're still have very good memories
of them. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, people will ask me about my grandparents and my parents sometimes, you know, and sometimes I'll get asked the question, like, who is one of the most influential women in your life? And for me, I mean, Grandma Amy was, in many ways, this... She was a quiet woman until she wasn't.
Yep. Took a lot to get her riled up, but boy, don't get her riled up.
but she always had a lot of good wisdom.
Yes.
And I think she shared that with both you and I in a lot of different ways. And some of the ways that we react, I mean, bullheaded, I'll admit it myself sometimes, I can be.
Well, that's like Grandpa.
But she had a lot of wisdom. She always used to look at things from a different angle. And I think as I've gotten a little older and my patience has gotten a little bit better, I hope that, you know, my definition of success would be ending up similar to the way that I think of her. Like if people can think of me in that way, that gracious, wonderful way, then yeah, that's, how can you define success any other way?
Yeah. I want to be a good memory.
Yeah. Well, and you're fun to be with now, too, so that's good.
Well, I mean, you know, but that's, I think that's the definition of success.
Yeah.
Is if you're, you know, once you're done with life, that you're a good memory to those that are carry on.
You've shared that time and energy with them.
Yep.
And
yep.
They respect it. And I guess in closing, any advice... Any final advice that you'd give to listeners about this delightful Eclipse rosé wine that we shared together today? Drinking it was good?
Yeah, drinking it was good. It kind of went to my head a little bit, very quickly. So If I share too much, I'm sorry.
No, I think it was a great interview. I think it's great for listeners to be able to know a little bit more about me personally. And, you know, having this conversation today sort of starts at the beginning. And that's why it was so important to me to have the very first show with the very first person that interacted with me in life. So thank you very much for being on the show today. And I hope all of you had a wonderful time listening today. And come back for episode number 2, where we're actually going to be talking to a veterinarian about the expenses and the thought of having an animal added to your life. I hope y'all have a great day.
And that will about do it for this week's episode of Wine and Dime. You can visit Amy on the web at irvineadvise.com. Or you can follow her on Twitter at Amy Irvine Advise, or on her Facebook page, Irvine Wealth Planning Strategies. If you have any questions, comments, or topics that you would like to hear about, feel free to contact us through Twitter or Facebook, and we will do our best to answer your questions. We would love to hear from you. And thank you for listening.